the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's your host, Danielle Leal.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for joining us today here on AgNet West Farm City Newsday. California Farm Bureau President Jamie Johansen expressed his disappointment after California Senate passed Assembly Bill 616 late last week. The bill will allow a year-long mail-in card check system for unionizing instead of a secret ballot election. We'll find out more on this bill in the coming shows, but for right now, let's take a listen to today's headlines. Brian German is talking with us about California plums gaining market access to Japan. Also hear why there's a stark contrast between 2020 and 2021 for wine grape growers. Before we hear those reports, I'm starting off today's program with false information that's being shared about farmers through a viral TikTok video. Let's jump right in. You can't believe everything you see on the internet. Nebraska Department of Agriculture Director Steve Wellman says a recent video circling social media isn't true.
No, the Nebraska Department of Agriculture is not paying farmers to take out their corn or any other crops, and neither is the United States Department of Agriculture.
The videos have reached folks across the nation. Wellman says the TikTok is damaging consumer trust.
Well, I've seen a couple of the videos that are out there on social media, and quite honestly, there's little to zero amount of truth in any of what I've seen. So I don't know why the information would be put out in that manner. I think it's just a good reminder for us to not always believe what we see on social media. And, you know, farmers and ranchers have been working hard to build trusting relationships with consumers for quite some time. And then videos of this type that contain scare tactics and false information are really counter to building that consumer confidence and trust. So in the end, it's not productive for agriculture, and it's surely not productive for the consumers.
He adds the videos have prompted phone calls from farmers and consumers.
Definitely the social media is getting some attention, and unfortunately it's driving calls to the department, either from the consumers worried about food supply and why we would be doing such a thing as destroying crops.
But rest assured,
USDA is not paying producers to destroy their crops.
When I first saw the video, I was hesitant and didn't quite know what to think. I know it's also been posted on the popular My Job Depends on Ag Facebook page, and commenters had questions as well. Luckily, this report clears it up. For now, let's get into more agriculture news. Here's reporter Brian German with back-to-back local reports.
There appears to be a stark contrast between 2020 and 2021 for wine grape growers. Jeff Brown is the president of Land Management Incorporated, growing about 600 acres of wine grapes in the Tracy area. He said the wine grape market is picking up after a troublesome year in 2020.
We're seeing an increased demand for the grapes that we currently have that were coming out of contract. We're seeing higher prices, and we're seeing the new planting contracts that are starting to creep up and come on board this year, which if you would have asked me last year, I would have said you're crazy. The wineries didn't want the grapes. They're letting the contract expire, and they're just not interested. They had plenty of grapes in the field. They had plenty of wine on the bulk wine market, and they just didn't need it. And so we actually lost quite a bit of business last year. I had a couple of vineyard blocks that were specialized varieties, and last year, no one wanted them. I mean, normally I sell pretty much all of it every year and for a really good price. But last year they're like, hey, we got to shut our tasting room down. So we have a full year's of inventory if we open up in 2021. So they just didn't buy. And so I was stuck with a lot of grapes. I did get them sold, but I sold them for, you know, a third of the price. And they were 20 years old. So I just decided to take them out. And that's when I got a contract from a large winery that wanted to secure a longer term contract for some Cabernet Sauvignon.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture recently announced that Japan has granted market access for California plums. The announcement comes after several rounds of negotiations between the U.S. and Japan centered on phytosanitary issues. California Fresh Fruit Association President Ian LeMay said that open access to the Japanese market represents a significant opportunity for California plums. Gaining access to Japan has been a decade-long process, which was somewhat hampered by the COVID-19 pandemic. CFFA has extended its appreciation to the USDA's Animal Plant Health Inspection Service and Agricultural Research Service, as well as the Fresno and Tulare County Ag Commissioner's offices for helping to move the process forward. Access to the Japanese market will be contingent upon strict packing and fumigation protocols for California plums, with expectations for a smooth export process given the success of the existing California Nectarine program for Japan. I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Thanks, Brian. It is time for us to head out for our first break of the show. Stay tuned as we'll be right back with more of the day's national headlines and local reports, including our livestock report from Miranda Wiseman when we return. Don't forget, if you've missed any of our morning shows or if you simply need to catch the news at a different time, you can always subscribe to our podcast and have statewide agriculture news at your convenience. All you have to do is search Farm City Newsday on your favorite podcast downloading app. That's Farm City Newsday. It's available on both Apple and Android devices. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. With increasing water scarcity, ask Wild Eye's qualified staff about their simple, easy-to-install and use monitoring systems to help you keep track of your precious water resources and also be SGMA compliant. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. In today's national headline, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. Senator Chuck Grassley, an Iowa Republican, called on President Biden to fill a couple of key USDA positions that deal with agricultural trade. He wants qualified officials appointed to the positions of Chief Agricultural Negotiator at the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative and Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs. Grassley said in the letter to the White House, quote, "I write you today to express my concern that your administration is not making agricultural trade a priority. Two positions that are essential to agricultural trade have been left vacant, and there is no indication on when they will be filled. Appointing individuals to these two positions will allow the U.S. to expand market access and strengthen our agriculture community," unquote. He points out that agriculture is essential to the livelihood of the 86,000 family farmers in Iowa and Americans who rely on export markets to sell the country's abundance of food. Grassley also says, quote, "Every day that passes without qualified leadership in these positions means the U.S. is playing without a full team against our competitors. Agriculture trade issues will continue to matriculate, and these two positions will have a portfolio that impacts every farmer and rancher in the country," unquote. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal, tossing it right on over to Randall Wiseman with today's livestock report.
Well, in today's livestock news, eligible dairy growers impacted economically by the COVID-19 pandemic will soon receive payments for their revenue losses via that recently announced USDA program. Rod Bain has more details.
The Dairy Pandemic Market Volatility Assistance Program has payments to dairy farmers who received a lower value for their products due to market abnormalities caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. Explaining how it works is USDA Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs, Jenny Moffitt.
This will be payments that will reimburse qualified dairy farmers for 80% of the revenue difference per month based on their annual crop production up to 5 million pounds of milk. for sales from July through December of 2020.
She adds independent handlers and cooperatives per agreement with USDA will distribute program payments, with payments varying by region based on fluid milk losses. More details are available online at www.ams.usda.gov. Type the word dairy in the search bar to find the link to AMS's dairy program. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. And Marketing and Regulatory Programs Undersecretary Jenny Moffitt discusses how the new Dairy Pandemic Market Volatility Assistance Program will benefit producers.
The Pandemic Market Volatility Assistance Program, this was announced on August 19th by Secretary Vilsack. Through the program, USDA will provide about $350 million in payments to dairy farmers who received a lower value for their products due to market abnormalities caused by the pandemic. The payments are going to vary by region based on actual losses of pooled milk, and USDA will make those payments through agreements with independent handlers and cooperatives. USDA will be contacting the eligible handlers and cooperatives to notify them of the opportunity.
USDA also announced its intention to designate Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands as protection zone. That's a World Organization for Animal Health designation that allows the U.S. to maintain its current animal health status should there be detection of African swine fever or other foreign animal diseases on the island territories. USDA will be working to gain OIE acceptance of this designation to maintain U.S. port continuity should Puerto Rico or the U.S. Virgin Islands have an animal test positive for African swine fever in the future. The U.S., including Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands, remains free of ASF, a swine-only disease with no implications for human health. Of course, there's no commercial pork trade from Puerto Rico or the U.S. Virgin Islands to the U.S. mainland at this time. President of the National Pork Producers Council, Jen Sorensen, said we thank Secretary Vilsack for taking this preemptive step to preserve the continuity of U.S. pork exports as we continue to work together to prevent the spread of African swine fever to the U.S. Now, the USDA, Customs and Border Protection, MPPC, and others are working together to contain the first outbreak of ASF in the Western Hemisphere in about 40 years. That was in the Dominican Republic. I'm Randall Wiseman for Agnet West.
The trendiness of hemp. Hot commodities come and go, and for a few years, hemp was the crop everyone seemed to be talking about. Ed Williams, Ventura County Ag Commissioner, said the trend of hemp took a downturn in 2020, as Ventura went from a top-producing industrial hemp county in the state with $35 million in total production to just $5 million last year.
Hemp, I think, is probably it's not going to ever get back to the same levels as we saw in 2019, at least not here in Ventura County. Hemp is something that can be grown just about anywhere. Everybody jumped on the bandwagon the first year that it was fully legal. And you know, there were rumors that you could make $50,000 or $60,000 an acre off of hemp, and the input didn't cost that much. So it was a great opportunity the market collapsed out from under him.
He attributes the fall to an oversaturated market, lack of processing equipment, and the uncertain legalities of growing and selling products. And while he doesn't see it quite bouncing back to pre-pandemic levels,
but I do see hemp stabilizing at some point over the next 3 or 4 years as government figures out how to address it, as the market figures out how to manage it better. So I do see hemp as an important crop for Ventura, as a rotational crop to fit in between other types of, we're able sometimes to grow 2 to 3 different crops a year. And it's one of those good summertime crops that can kind of fit into some of the gaps for our other crops here.
It's time for us to head out for a short break. We'll be right back with more of the day's agriculture news and farm features right here on AgNet West Farm City News Day when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's ficoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. With increasing water scarcity, ask Wild Eye's qualified staff about their simple, easy-to-install and use monitoring systems to help you keep track of your precious water resources and also be Sigma compliant. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture. Welcome back to Farm City News Day by AgNet West. I'm your host, Daniel Leal. As harvest season picks up, so does rural crime. Today, you'll hear my conversation with San Joaquin County Farm Bureau Executive Director Bruce Blodgett talk all about how they are helping their producers stay vigilant against rural crime. I get your weekly e-newsletter, as I do a lot of the other farm bureaus. Just I like to stay up to date on what's happening with each county. And one thing that I think you guys do really greatly is you make sure that your producers, your farm bureau members, are alerted when rural crime happens. Why did you guys start to put out that little blurb in your weekly e-newsletter about rural crime?
Well, it's bottom line is working through our rural crime task force, and then subsequently the some of the other detectives that have been, you know, our county has something called AgNet. We have a number of detectives in the county that are dedicated to rural crime and trying to, you know, it's a communication tool more than anything, trying to get the word out. This is what we're seeing. This is what kind of thefts we're seeing. You know, times, look at fuel prices. Fuel is obviously a very a popular item for theft right now. When metal prices go up, the copper wire starts disappearing from the pumps. So there's, and then again, you mentioned harvest season. We got a lot of people moving around, a lot of equipment out and about in fields and in remote locations that isn't always there, and it provides opportunities. So just having people be vigilant and watch out for their equipment, bring that in to the extent possible, secure it. If you can't bring it in because if it's not bolted down, it seems like people are trying to walk away with it.
Yeah, I hear you. So you talked a little bit about some of the things that you guys are seeing, but what might be some more specifics or go more into detail about some of the crime trends that you've seen? Is it just with farm equipment? Is it with actual commodities themselves? Is it with, like you mentioned, oil and gas? What might have been some things that you guys are reporting to your local sheriff's department?
Right now, commodity theft, we're just starting to get into harvest. We get a lot of that during as nuts, as an example, get swept into the orchards before they get picked up. People are going in and grabbing some of those. We're also seeing, I mean, we've even, in most extreme cases a couple years ago, where people got into a processor and took a whole set of doubles. Wow. Full of nuts. So, I mean, it can be something small, maybe just losing a few in a field, to something huge. In that instance. So it can be all over the board. Like I said, copper wire and other metals tend to start disappearing again when prices go up. That's something that's trend always, you know, it's you can tell when the market's going up because things start disappearing. And the same goes for fuel. And this is a good, you know, this is a good example. And fuel prices are this high. People look to acquire, you know, people are looking to steal that fuel now rather than simply buy it. So those are a few of the items. One of the stranger, more recent trends are burning haystacks. Homeless people coming in. And to be honest with you, we actually had one right next to our building. Well, not luckily right next to, but in the field next to our building. The growers come in every year and they stack it up. And usually about this time of the year, somebody else comes in and they've sold it and they haul it off. Mm-hmm. And it's never been a big deal that it sat for the summer in the neighboring property or on the neighboring property, but somebody came in, we got it on camera. There's three homeless people came in and you see one of them disappear. And next thing you know, the haystack's on fire and they go tearing out of the parking lot. So there's been a few haystack fires that have been set by the homeless populations. It seems to be something they're doing as, you know, for kicks, I guess. So that's pretty disappointing and disturbing too. So it's all over the board.
Yeah, well, that's not only costly to, you know, the grower, but it's also worsening our air pollution. So double right. whammy on that end. But now that we've talked about some of those trends, why is it important to have a good relationship with your sheriff's department? You talked about this program called AgNet. I'm assuming that's in partnership with your sheriff's department. So talk about the importance of having that relationship and being able to, when something happens, call on your county sheriff's department and say, hey, this is going on, and they can trust you and come on out and respond.
Yeah, no, it's been a long standing relationship that we've had, and it goes back to, you know, trying to, when pre-COVID, we did a seminar or two a year on rural crime and invited our members in to come and hear the latest trends. In addition to what we do, update them on the Friday updates, and we actually have a column in our newspaper every month. So we're trying to constantly push that information out so people are aware and know, okay, these are the kind of things that are disappearing. Again, it's been a long-standing relationship with them. Goes back to, you know, crime prevention, owner-applied numbers. We promote the program to have growers basically put these owner-applied numbers on all of their equipment so they can recover those items. Mm-hmm. We're in the process, and COVID kind of derailed us here. We were in the process of trying to implement the Smart Water program, which is just a little bit of water adding to it that a lot of our members know about up and down the valley. Mm-hmm. It's in a few other counties, but we're going to try to add that technology too. So it's theft prevention more than anything, and it's getting information out so people know what to look for. The sheriff's department is great when they get a picture of a suspect, or somebody gets a picture of a suspect, that we have no problem immediately turning that around and sending that out to our members that, hey, this person has been seen in the North County area. Mm-hmm. And items are disappearing, we believe is a suspect in a number of thefts, we'll shoot that information out. And what the other part of that equation too is, when the sheriff's department finds stolen equipment, putting the pictures of that stolen equipment out, we've got a lot of recoveries that way. For the people that didn't have the owner applied numbers of Smart Water, we've been able to at least identify a lot of equipment and get it back into the rightful hand, the hands of the rightful owners. So that's why the relationship's important. It's about asset recovery. It's about prevention. More than anything.
You got it. You know, in your Friday newsletter, you guys always put out that there's to have a no trespass letter on hand. And I'm assuming that that's a tip that you might give out to your producers when it comes to being vigilant on their farm. So what might be another tip? Is it installing cameras? Is it locking up shops with costly equipment in it? What I you mentioned, you know, whatever isn't tacked to the ground is available to be stolen. So what might be some of those tips?
Yeah, just all the above. Just like our office, we have cameras now on our office. That's how we were at least able to see the three people, you know, not wonder why the haystack went on fire. We know why the haystack went on fire. Or it was lit on fire. It was picked up clearly, not clearly enough as they wore face masks, but we couldn't identify the people, but we could at least identify how and why it started. Cameras are good. All of the technology is good. Alarms, cameras, all of that is a deterrent. It may not 100% prevent something from happening. That haystack went up even though there was a camera there, but they, you know, obviously they came in with face masks on, so they knew they needed to protecting themselves. But again, some of the camera systems are pretty elaborate and it can actually be contacting you if you get movement on your property, that you can be getting alerts on your phone and check out your cameras. I could stop right now talking and pull up the cameras at the office and see who's there right now and what's going on. So at least on the outside of the building.
Lastly here, as we wrap up, how can growers in your area stay up to date on recent acts of crimes?
Easiest way to do it is one, join Farm Bureau and join our mailing list. I mean, it's not that difficult. We're all in this together. We need to be working together, and we need to be getting information. We need to be getting information out to our members. And the only way we can do that is if they're an actual member. So, that's something. And even some of the low tech stuff, the owner applied number is just basically stamped to the side of the equipment. It doesn't cost anything. It doesn't cost you anything to stamp all of your equipment with that. So do it. I mean, it's not that difficult. And the sheriff's department will help you do that. They'll send somebody out to help you stamp your equipment. So these are things that can be done, that at least if something does walk away, that we can get that thing recovered. Those that don't, and you know, we get a lot of equipment that gets turned over, and and really, it never gets mm-hmm. back home because people fail to identify it. And, you know, we're excited about the prospects of the smart water coming in as yet another tool, but there's low tech option out there of literally stamping your machinery and it doesn't cost you a thing.
You're listening to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of the day's national headlines and local reports when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. With increasing water scarcity, ask Wild Eye's qualified staff about their simple, easy-to-install and use monitoring systems to help you keep track of your precious water resources and also be Sigma compliant. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Welcome back to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. In today's national headline, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. In the second quarter of 2021, money that had been diverted by COVID-19 from travel and other activities into the smaller tractor market began to return to normal use. Sustained gains in commodity prices, however, have resulted in farmers continuing their buying sprees for larger tractors and harvesters, as shown in AEM's monthly Ag Tractor and Combine reports. Kurt Blade, Senior Vice President of Ag Service for the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, says, quote, "The under 40 horsepower tractor market has softened a bit compared with the big numbers from last year. However, row crop tractor sales have performed well in the second quarter," unquote. He also says the numbers are positive for articulated four-wheel drive tractors, and even combines are showing, quote, "signs of life," unquote. The biggest drivers behind the big-ticket equipment sales are the higher-than-usual commodity prices and farmer confidence that those prices are going to stay there for a while. However, the supply chain, especially when it comes to the availability of semiconductors, is restricting the available inventory of equipment across all segments. Total tractor inventory at the end of the second quarter of this year is down more than 37% compared to the same time last year. Blades notes the association is doing everything possible to help the industry get machines to dealer lots as quickly as possible. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. And now for more local news, here's Brian German.
The UC Rice Pest Management course is coming up next week in Biggs. This year will mark the fourth rice-specific course at the Hamilton Road Field and the Rice Experiment Station in Biggs. The course, scheduled for Friday, September 10th, is a collaborative effort between UC Cooperative Extension, UC Davis, and the California Rice Experiment Station. The event will begin with an interactive field tour of the research plots where attendees can get up close to the weeds and rice at the Hamilton Road Field. After the morning break, attendees will travel to the Rice Experiment Station, where there will be three different breakout sessions available. One covering identification of grasses and weedy rice, another going over identification of broadleaves and sedges, and finally one focused on disease identification. After lunch, there will be presentations addressing topics including regulatory updates, new herbicides for resistance management, pest and disease research updates, and how to construct a weed management program. Enrollment is limited, so early registration is recommended, and DPR and CCA continuing education units are pending approval. Registration information is available at wric.ucdavis.edu. I'm Brian German for Agnet West Radio Network.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit AgNet West online at agnetwest.com. Get even more connected by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching at AgNet West, and our team of Brian German at Brian German AgNet West and Danielle Leal with at D Leal AgNet West. This has been Farm City Newsday by AgNet West.